Fantastic stuff, everybody. Hope you've had a good time there, just looking into the scriptures for yourself. You know, because, you know, what I say up here is nothing that you guys can figure out for yourself at all. So the woman, how does she respond to Jesus? What does she do? Did you spot what she did? I'm just going to pause because you guys have been like excellent helpers. I'm going to see if somebody else wants to answer that hasn't yet. Should we jump to Esh again? Go on, Esha. Yeah, she pours perfume. Is that what you were going to say? Excellent. Yeah, so she pours perfume on Jesus. Let's write that up so you've got that. Fantastic. Okay, now here's a more complicated question. Why do you think she did that? Why do you think she did that? We'll come to... Oh, Rowan, I'd love for you to share. Fantastic. Let's write that down. Wonderful. Yes, here.
She would just follow Jesus.
Yeah, fantastic. I think it's to do with that shows love. It shows she wants to follow. And I think, Jesse, you had your hand up, so I'd love for you to share your idea as well, bud.
Jesus is worth more than money.
Can you just, do you want to just... Worth more than money. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks, everyone who shared. I really appreciate all these ideas. Fantastic. Yeah, so Jesus, is that... What's a little bit confusing, I'm going to say this, but it might just like, this bit actually happens before Jesus enters Jerusalem. So it sort of happens almost like before chapter 12. But Mark throws it in here because he's in Bethany, not in Jerusalem here. But he wants us to realize, he's trying to contrast what this woman with Judas. So Jesus is at this house with Simon the leper. He's sharing a meal. And this unknown woman that we don't know her name, she breaks this jar of perfume that's worth a year's wages. That's a lot of money, right? That's a lot of money. Breaks it, pours it over Jesus. And the disciples, they're just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? We'll think about that in a minute. But Jesus says, stop, don't rebuke her. She's done a wonderful thing. Jesus sees and understands something completely different to what the disciples see. Jesus sees someone who understands that it's a sign of love, it's a sign of honor, it's a sign that she values Jesus more than money. Really, it shows us this. She knows that Jesus is king. She knows that Jesus is king. And, you know, if we were to dig into some Old Testament verses, which we could do, we see that in this culture, when kings were crowned as king, do you know what they would do? Pour some perfume on them. At special feasts and processions and festivals, they might get the perfume out again for the rulers and the rich and the leaders. And when these kings die, do you know what they would do? They would get out the perfumes and the oils. So really it's a big symbolic gesture where this woman is saying, I have nothing, but this is a person of great value, so I'll pour this perfume out. And actually Jesus interprets it as preparing him for death. So I'm just going to draw a box around here. Preparing him for his burial. It's a prediction. It's a pointer forward to what's about to happen in his death. Fantastic. The woman demonstrates her love and devotion, even though it's costly, because she knows the value of Jesus. Right, time out. Judas and the chief priests. Just have 15 seconds to refresh your memory there, and then we'll do the same again. Judas and the chief priests. How do they respond to Jesus? Fantastic stuff. So let's maybe have a few more voices. Again, just... don't worry about it. I'm not looking for a perfect answer. It's just great for us to all engage and get involved with the text. So what does Judas do? Yeah.
He displays extraordinary fruit.
Yes. Fantastic. I'm going to use that word that you use. I can't spell it, but I'm going to use it. Extraordinary
degree or amount of greed, I think you said. Amount of greed. Exactly. And how do we know that that's how do we know that that's what he showed? Some other answers, some other thoughts. Let's have them, keep them coming. What does Jesus do? What does Judas do? Yeah, exactly. We can write that out a little bit. Yeah, indignant. Fantastic.
Yeah, here we go.
They were plotting.
Yeah, exactly. Plotting to do what?
Kill Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. They want to kill Jesus. Wonderful stuff. Any other ideas or thoughts? Or why do you think... Oh, Charlie. Or both, I mean...
Jesse's wife, Jesus, blew me away. Because Judas's money is worth more than Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
thanks, Charlie. Exactly. You've done the hard work that took me like 4 hours of study to figure this out during the week. Exactly. Look at the contrast. Mark is saying, hang on a minute, here's a woman who says, Jesus is so valuable, I will smash this most valuable thing I have to kind of anoint him, to show my kind of honour and that I want to follow him, I love him, I need this saviour king. Judas, on the other hand, is saying, hang on a minute, how can I gain out of Jesus? What can I do to get more money from this person? I think he's just a slave. I'll sell him a bit like a slave. And so he sells out Jesus to the chief priest. He doesn't. And what's kind of madly ironic, particularly grown-ups, you might appreciate this. The chief priests are about to celebrate this. And the right response is, here's the one that's come to, that this all points to. The woman responds rightly, right? Whereas the chief priests, the ones that like lead and drive and are kind of orchestrate the Passover, they don't see that Jesus is the true Passover lamb. And instead, they are greed, like selfish, bitter, and are plotting. There's a kind of a deep irony there, isn't there? And we're going to sing a song in sort of our halfway break before we come to communion and the second part of our kind of our passage, which is Mighty, Mighty Saviour. Because we might think, well, you know what? I'm not as bad as Judas. You know, I'm a bit like Mary. And probably that's true, a bit of truth for all of us, right? Because what's the one thing that Mary and Judas both had? Sin. They both had a sin problem. And Mary's response was honour and love and devotion to the one who could deal with it. Judas was rejection. You know, but we know that we can sometimes be a bit like Judas, right? Selfish, greedy. But, you know, if we're following Christ, our desire is to be like that woman, isn't it? To be one that is devoted. And so that's the call this morning, to recognise that our sin is dealt with. It's too strong for us to deal with on our own. And Jesus is calling us to have that devotion, like that woman, to give our all for him. So we're going to sing now, and sing this through the lens of kind of Mary's attitude of saying, sin is too strong. I need a mighty saviour. I can't do this by myself. I need Jesus to save me. Let's stand and sing sort of and respond in that way.
Let's stand.
Amen. What a mighty saviour our saviour Jesus is, and how much we need him, because sin is so strong. All we can do is pour out our hearts in praise to him. So we're going to come to communion now, which we're going to remember today. Not a coincidence that we're reading this passage of the Last Supper on a Sunday that we're going to celebrate communion. And we're briefly going to look at it in those verses that we read earlier, which started really as a new way for us to remember. Really, it's the replacement of the Passover meal. Because we're no longer looking back to a lamb that was killed to save the firstborn on one particular night. We're looking back on Jesus' death and indeed resurrection, all of his work, which saves us from all of our sin for eternity forever. So all of that points to all of this. So a few points then from verses 12 to 25 before we come to this table, we partake in it, we remember, is that having read some of this at the end of verse 11, we might be tempted to think, oh no, it's all gone wrong. The plan's failed. Judas has betrayed Jesus. What's going to happen next? The plan must not be going as Jesus wants it to. It's all unraveling. We might be tempted to think that. But the next bits that Mark tells us remind us that no, Jesus is in complete control of what's happening, including the road before him, which is death and sacrifice. So in the preparation for this meal that they're going to have to remember the lamb, in the context of, oh, has it all gone wrong yet? Jesus reminds us he's in complete control. Follow that man. Go to that house. Say these words. He will show you this. He is in utter control over the events that are unfolding. This is not an accident. The betrayal simply happens to be the means, the mechanism, the way by which Judas' death will come about. Another way. They're at the table, they're reclining, they're having a meal, they're having the roast lamb and the bitter herbs and the drinks and all of that. And Judas, remember Judas? He plotted to kill. He probably thought that he was the only one who knew what he'd done. Now he snuck off, didn't he, in the night to go and meet the chief priests to get the money. And he was then looking for an opportunity. But Jesus called it out, doesn't he? Jesus doesn't need to be told he's going to be betrayed. He already knows. And at the table he says, one of you is going to betray me. It is not an accident. Jesus already knows. I can only imagine how like Judas was like, what? How did you know? Well, because Jesus is the King, the Son of God, the Sovereign One. You know, look at this verse. Look at this verse. Verse 20 and 21. You know, he says, look, they all say, no, it's not me. It's definitely not me. Including Jesus. And then Jesus said, it is one of the 12. You know, the ones that are sharing this meal with me. And he says, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. So if we were to look back into the Old Testament, we'd see loads and loads and loads and loads of pictures like this, and images, and prophecies, and promises that one would come to sacrifice himself to save all of God's people. The Son of Man will go as it's written. I know where I'm going. I'm in charge here. I know what's going to happen. Not you. Jesus knows. It's going to go just as per the plan. And then we get to verses 20 to 25, which, as we read them, you probably like dropped into some sort of default mode, because we often read them out when we have communion. You know, what Jesus says, you know, knowing the road before him of sacrifice and death, that he's essentially fulfilling this picture of rescue and sacrifice and freedom from judgment and the spilling of blood. He says, this is my body. It's going to be broken. Just like that lamb was. And he picks up that Passover language and he says, and this is like blood. You know, poured out. It's the sign. It's how you know that the sins are dealt with. Because I've been sacrificed. I will sacrifice myself instead of you. Not just one lamb for one person in a family on one night in Egypt. But the Son of God, the Holy One of God, the one who came down to fulfill all of God's plans to deal with sin forever. The blood of that person, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. That is the sign that his death pays for all of our sins. We within this broader context of the Passover, Mark is showing to us what all that pointed to. This is the lasting and true sacrifice that truly rescues God's people for those who follow and trust and obey and love Jesus. Just a bit like Mary did. Because this rescue is only on offer for those who accept Jesus' offer of rescue. Now, when Jesus says in verse 21 something extremely harrowing, it would have been better if the one who betrays Jesus, Judas, had not have been born. Essentially, he's saying the seriousness of not trusting in Jesus is really severe. The consequences are severe. Eternal judgment. So as we kind of finish this message and we come to the table, Peter and Penny, I think, are going to come and distribute it shortly. We're going to partake in this remembrance, especially if here we are Christians. Now, throughout Mark's gospel, he's asking these two questions of us all. Who do you think Jesus is? And how will you respond to him? So before the service come up, I just want you to ask yourself those questions. Maybe you've been a Christian for ages, years and years, decades. Remind yourself again of how Jesus is the same Jesus that saved you. And your response to him is one daily of sacrifice and confession and love and walking with him. But maybe you're not sure. Or maybe you're openly opposed to Jesus, a bit like Judas. Well then, this isn't for you. I'm so glad you're here to hear this message of Jesus this morning, but you can appreciate that this is something for Christians to celebrate and remember Jesus, the true Passover Lamb, the one who died for our sins, that all who trust in him can be saved eternally from the judgment that our sin deserves and into freedom and life with God forever. There'll be others doing the same. And as an all-age service, I say this to our youngsters here. Look to your parents for some guidance on this, because this is for Christians. This is for Christians. But if you are a Christian and you take this, then that's wonderful. I want to invite you to be baptized. To say, actually, that's this big open sign and way to say, yes, I am a Christian. So if that's you here this morning, whether you're old or whether you're young, then maybe chat to Dan or me. About being baptized, making that kind of really public commitment of following Jesus. Fantastic stuff. Penny, Peter, can I just invite you up to be ready? So yeah, and thanks to Fred for preparing this for us this morning before church. We're going to sing, as this is distributed in a second, a song that reminds us that we can boldly come to Jesus by his blood. You can take the bread as it comes to you, eat it as you sing, not maybe at the same time, and then the cup will be distributed kind of afterwards. Hold on to that, and we'll drink together once we finish singing, once everyone's been served. And yeah, take this time to remember, to reflect on what we've looked at here. I didn't fill any words in there because I've just of time, but yeah, Jesus died. He's the true Passover Lamb. Reflect and remember on that. Let's stay seated, and we're going to sing this song together. That we can come before God because of the blood of Jesus.